Let me open us up with prayer. Father God, the things that we do here for the next 4 weeks are because we have a relationship with you, because we are excited about that relationship, and because we want to tell others about it. Lord, you have given us the ability to communicate through speech. You have given us the ability to communicate through all types of mediums that you have created in this world. Communication is a major tool that you have given us. It's an important tool. We want to glorify you, Lord, by the way we communicate. We want to glorify you by the way we take your word and share it with other people. We want to be relevant. We want to be persuasive. We want to be used by the power of your Spirit to move within people's lives. Lord, we want to be clear with the gospel. We want to be clear with the message that we teach. Many of us here, as you know, teach for you already. Many here, you are bringing into that area. You are developing them as we speak. I just pray for everybody here that we would all be able to learn from each other and become better communicators of your word, better communicators of the truths of your world. Lord, we just pray that we exemplify you greater than anyone else, because we are your children and we are in your image and we are being formed every day more towards your image, and we ought to be able to show the excellencies of you more than anyone else. We as Christians just pray that your Holy Spirit would be with us and bless this time in these 4 weeks. Bless each person here. Let them be able to benefit greatly from this class. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, all of you all have been invited to this course, Principles of Biblical Teaching. This is probably the seventh or the eighth time that I have taught this. It's the third time we've taught it together?
I think the third time.
Rome and I will be teaching each Saturday for 4 Saturdays. It is a course that is designed for people who are already teachers, or people who we think might have the gift of teaching, or people that you're just kind of exploring. You're not really sure, but you have a desire to communicate. Now, having said that, it has broad implications for all people. We believe that all people are communicators, all people are teachers in a certain sense, as we'll see in the class as we go through some of the scriptures. But what we want you to be able to get from this course is not only a more assurance of God's calling in your life, but the ability to discern better whether God is has you in the position that he would have you in, the gifting, your gifting of teaching, that you would be able to be more assured of that you would leave here more confident in, whether it be that you're more confident that you are a teacher, whether you leave here more confident that you're not a teacher. Okay. Either way, we want you to be able to benefit from this course in such a way. It's called Principles of Biblical Teaching. Now, having said that, a lot of the things that we're going to be talking about in this course are just general principles in teaching. It's real important for you to realize that we can't separate the things of the world in teaching and say, this is the way they communicate in the world that is not Christian, and they do things this way, but we do things this way. They're effective this way, but we're effective this way. We believe that God has gifted all people. We believe that God's image resides in many people that are unbelievers who are teaching, and they teach very well. As you'll see in a little bit, I have some books here that are from unbelievers that I suggest you reading on teaching techniques or teaching philosophy. And so we're not making a big, strong dichotomy with the church and the world and saying this is the way the world teaches, this is the way the church teaches. There will be some of that when we move into the understanding of the Holy Spirit's power in teaching. But at the same time, we must realize that we are learning basic principles in teaching as well that can be used in all forms of communication. Whether you're speaking in a secular situation, whether you're speaking in a religious situation, these types of things we're going to be talking about will apply very broadly. So those of you who are teachers in Sunday schools or teachers at a elementary school, we hope you to be able to benefit from this. Those of you who are teachers of adults, or those of you who are teachers of children, we hope you're going to be able to benefit from this. So it's very broad, but we will be focusing on the principles of biblical teaching in the sense that we're going to be using the text of the Bible and showing how to take the text and move it to a lesson. You have a set of notes. This is your first set of notes. You will be getting another set next week and one following that to complete your sets of notes. You also should have gotten two books. One is Teaching to Change Lives. by Howard Hendricks.
This is a philosophy of teaching book. This isn't so much a techniques book, this is a philosophy of teaching book. This one, Effective Bible Teaching, is more of a techniques book and a interpretation book.
This one is due next week along with a paper. For those of you who are going for grade, I'll explain that to you in just a moment. And this one is due the fourth week before you give your lesson. I'll explain a little bit more of that in just a moment. Both excellent books, very good resources. We really are intentional in what we give you all to do. We don't give any busy work. We're very intentional in the books that we have you read. We say what are the things that have benefited us most so that they can benefit you all as well. This course is a combination of courses we took in seminary. Rome and I both went through Christian education courses. We went through principles of biblical teaching courses. What was that called at seminary? Principles of biblical teaching? And we went through preaching courses. What we've essentially done is combined all three of these courses and made them into one so that we'll try to understand preaching, teaching, and Christian education in general. It's not a course like the rest of the courses of the theology program. This is part of the theology program, although it's an elective course within the theology program that's by invite only. It's not a course that that is part of it, but it is a course that that is essential to it. Now, we're going to be using this, what we go through here, to train people to teach the theology program, to be able to train people that are online teachers, train people who are pastors or teachers in other countries, to train people who are people here in this country who are starting the theology program. And so we're using this course very broadly, and at the same time, that I want you to understand that this course is not just like we say with the theology program, it's not a glorified Sunday school course on these things. You have assignments. We're going to be doing evaluations of your teaching. There are going to be some difficult evaluations of your teaching, but we find that it's not the easier you make it, the better, but the more intentional you are, the better. And sometimes the intentionality brings some difficulties, but those difficulties, I think, pay the biggest dividends in the long run. Okay. Let's open our syllabus. Course description. What constitutes good teaching? Why is good teaching so hard to find? What role does the Holy Spirit have to play in our teaching? What are the various teaching methods? This course is a course in the principles of biblical teaching. It is designed to give an overview of the methods and principles of teaching biblical truth. In doing this, the course will attempt to give the student helpful feedback that he or she can access with more confidence God's calling in your life. Course objectives. We hope, like I said, I've already said that, gain greater confidence in God's calling. Develop the personal teaching philosophy. You're going to write a teaching philosophy paper. Gain further understanding of the role of the Holy Spirit in the teaching process. You're going to ask questions, what is it that's different in the Christian community when the Holy Spirit is moving within you to teach people than it is in a secular world whenever the Holy Spirit is not involved? And we're going to struggle through that. We're not going to make any assumptions. Like the rest of the theology program that we've gone through, we're going to kind of throw aside our assumptions and build this up. We're not going to assume that the Holy Spirit comes in and zaps us the first day we become a Christian, and all of a sudden we have the gift of teaching, and then we're where we weren't good teachers before, and now we're just great expositors and orators of the Word. Let's throw away these assumptions, and let's just build it from the bottom up.
Michael, that's a real important point. I think that's one thing that we're going to show you creates some tension, and that's that sometimes we get the feeling that if we're empowered by the Spirit, then if we've read our Bible, we should be able to go and teach, and sometimes we use that as an excuse not to prepare. And so we're going to walk you through what the Spirit might be doing, what the Spirit might not be doing as we work through some of the Scriptures, but we want to challenge some of those notions that often come out that, well, I'm teaching God's Word, it's going to be good. Well, you might be teaching God's Word, but that doesn't presuppose it's going to be good. You could do a lousy job of teaching God's Word, which is true. So this is what we want to work through, and you'll see as we start to break some of these things down, this is why we've used some secular textbooks, because teaching and communication is an art form regardless of whether it's God's Word or something in the secular business marketplace. So we think that God's Word ought to be done with the most excellence, and that's really the purpose of this course, what we're going to get through.
Good. You can read through a lot of these class objectives. I'm not going to go through them all in detail. Number nine, you're going to learn to humbly evaluate the critique of others. Many of you are going to choose at the last day. Some of you haven't decided whether you're taking this for a certificate or not. But you're going to choose within the next few days or the next few weeks whether or not you want to take this for a certificate. It's just a teacher training certificate signed by Roman. It doesn't really carry that much weight or anything, but it's nice to have, I think.
We like ours.
And Rome will just, he stamps, I sign. So. You'll decide whether or not the last day you're going to teach a 15-minute lesson. And during that 15-minute lesson, a group of your peers are going to, for probably about five or six of them, are going to evaluate your teaching along with Rome or I or some other trained teacher. It's going to be a critique, not just saying we're going to critique you in the sense that we're going to bring out all the bad things alone. We're going to do the good and the bad. But it's hard. But that was one of the most valuable experiences that both of us had. And one of the things we miss the most is forced to be honest whenever people will evaluate your teaching. We would sit in class and just get drilled all day long. And it hurt.
One of the issues is not what is it that you're saying or what is it that you're teaching. The question is, what is it that your students are hearing? So you know you've presented your lesson, you know you've nailed your points, you've done everything you should. The problem is that when your students say something different, that they didn't hear what you thought you said, that they didn't understand what you thought you made clear. And that becomes the issue. The issue isn't that you think you're a good teacher as much as are the students thinking that? Are the students understanding what you're trying to communicate? And that becomes the real challenge. Once you try and find out the very point I was getting across, did they actually understand that was the main point? Those types of issues will come to bear. So.
And most importantly, did they stay awake? Page four, textbooks. You've got your two textbooks. I've got a list of suggested textbooks there as well. But you also have a bibliography that was handed out separately. Online students will have the bibliography on their notes. You can take this course at three different levels, as you can see, for enrichment. Some of you will decide you just want to sit in on the courses and you don't want to teach. If you do decide that, I still encourage you to come to the teaching sessions. Because you're being involved in those teaching sessions where there's critique given is probably one of the most important things, whether you're passively engaged or actively engaged, because you learn a lot from the critique of others, as long as it is a critique that is, you understand what you're doing with the critique.
And that's really one point to bring out, is that learning how to critique or learning what it is that you're trying to listen for or achieve is a very, very useful skill. It also will help you, for example, take notes in a sermon, to take notes at a lecture, where you can actually gain what is it the main points are, why are we listening for main points, what role do they play, and things like that. So even the critiquing process will be very beneficial, even if you should choose not to speak yourself.
You can also take it for credit, and you pay the registration fee, complete all of the work, and you will receive the certificate. Then you can also take it for credit with honors. Now, the credit with honors means that you simply have done all of the work, but you also read a book that is in the bibliography that I just handed out. Now, I didn't mark which books that I would suggest, because I think I suggest them all. The one that stands out most that I would like everybody to read is Color Outside the Lines. For those of you who have already taken this course before, you might choose a different one, but Color Outside the Lines by Howard Hendricks is a philosophy on leadership, but it plays a major role in your teaching. The whole idea that he is trying to present is the subtitle here, is a revolutionary approach to creative leadership that really helps you to step outside the box in teaching and be creative in your teaching and develop a philosophy of creativity in your communication in general. Really good book.
Very, very enjoyable read as well. Lots of examples, lots of illustrations, things that you can try on your own, lots of suggestions. So very much a fun read. It's not bogged down in academics. A lot of examples and stuff. So very enjoyable.
Another one is Biblical Preaching by Haddon Robinson. So those of you who are more oriented towards the preaching, you might choose that book.
That's the standard textbook in virtually every English-speaking seminary in the world as far as preaching goes. Haddon Robinson's considered the best of the best as far as teaching preaching.
exploring the history and philosophy of Christian education. This kind of takes you through the history of teaching in the church, of education within the church. It's a thicker book. It'll take you a little bit more to get through, but those of you who are history buffs and really want to get a background to know where you are at by knowing where we have been, it's a very good book. Three books here. Courage to Teach, a philosophy book written by, like I said, somebody who's not necessarily a Christian, but just a educator in general. Very good book on the philosophy of teaching. Little books, a couple books that are kind of outside the line again, you know, following Howard Hendricks' approach. This is Neil Postman. I don't know if many of you are familiar with him, but he's written since the 1960s, and I think he just came out with a new book. But every one of his books are just incredible. They're very incisive. They're insightful in the way that he approaches culture. This one's called Amusing Ourselves to Death. This one, The Public Discourse in the Age of Show Business. It's the idea of communication in the world today, just how communication happens and what you are encountering whenever you come to your students, what you are up against whenever you have to teach your students, as there are things in this culture that are basically, like it says, amusing them to death. They're becoming a certain type of receptor, where we are creating certain types of receptors in our society. And he digs through that. He does it also in a different way, and teaching is a subversive activity in which it's it says no holds barred assault on the outdated teaching methods. Really insightful book. Again, not necessarily a Christian. He's very conservative, and he seems to be, as you he uses scripture, but I don't know if he's a Christian or not. Let's see here. None of these others I necessarily need to call your attention to, except for Ramesh Richard. He's from Dallas Theological Seminary. This is like Haddon Robinson's book, but it goes through a little bit more, kind of like the course we took in seminary. It's just basically the course written down, the preaching course written down in seminary. So it's like Haddon Robinson, but it's a little bit more, I think, probably detailed as far as this is the first step, this second step, third step, fourth step in preparation. Preparing Expository Sermons by Ramesh Richard. Seven-step method for biblical preaching.
We'll have the books up here. You're welcome during break or after the class to come take a look at them. If that helps you make a decision, we're happy to talk to you about them if you have more questions.
Also, we've got about six of the Coloring Outside the Lines over here. We should have more next week, so if you wanted to purchase that right now, you've got a lot of reading to do just for the next 4 weeks, and so some of you may not be able to do this for honors, but those of you who do choose to do it for honors, we've got six of the books up there for purchase for $15. Assignment description, page 5. Participation. We need you to participate, obviously. It's going to be a key essential. You're going to have your reading assignments. Your reading assignments are on, as you can see, page 6. It will tell you when it's due. Most essentially, I can tell you, Teaching to Change Lives is due next week. And then Effective Bible Teaching is due by the 4th week, by the time you present your lesson, if you're going for a grade. Then a personal teaching philosophy paper. This is, you know, going to be anywhere from 1 to 5 pages. And what you'll learn more about that today as we go through philosophy of Christian education. But what it is most essentially, you are going to think through what to you constitutes excellent teaching and what type of teacher do you want to be. You're going to answer those questions and bring up 5 or 6 main principles. I want to be a teacher that teaches with clarity. And then you're going to explain yourself. Why do you want to teach with clarity? What are the examples in the Bible of someone who taught with clarity? I want to be someone who teaches with an irenic spirit. You know, as those of you who have been in the theology program. I want to present equally all positions, but be persuasive upon the one main position. Irenic spirit may be a value that you hold. My value is that I want to be a teacher who gets into the lives of the students or gets into the lives of my people. Okay, you're going to have to think through what do you value most and really put them. And I'm not saying there's one right way. Mine's going to look different than yours. Rome's and I's look different. There's no right one way to do this. And so whenever we grade it, it's not as if we're going to say, no, this is wrong. This is, should not be your main value. You've got your own personal values that God has gifted you with. And so you write those values out in such a way. There's an example of this on page 7. This is a rather long one. You don't have to be this long, but it's a five-page example from page 7 to 12 on this paper. So you might read through that just to see how to present it. Then, number 4 on page 5, each student who will be working for a grade will present one sermon or lesson. Okay, you'll understand what the difference is as we go through this class, and we'll explain it more and more. But on the third class, you're going to have an introduction that is assigned to you. We're going to assign passages to everybody who wants to teach, certain passages that we're going to give to you, and then you're going to come up from next week until the following week, between the second and the third week, with an introduction, 5-minute introduction that's going to be evaluated. And then the following week after that, you're going to do your full 15-minute lesson. So it'll be the 5-minute introduction plus the lesson. Both of those will be evaluated. The grading system, if you complete all this, you complete your reading, go through and do your lessons, or do your paper and do your introduction and your lesson, then you're going to pass. Okay. Now, it doesn't mean that Rome and I put our stamp of approval necessarily and say, anywhere you go, we approve as the theology program teaching class that these people should teach from the pulpit at your church. We're just saying you've made it through the course.
I guess one of the things that we're trying to show in our value is this class is more than us just standing up here talking. We're going to go through a lot of examples. We'll do a lot of things with scripture, with philosophy. You'll get to know us a little better in our interaction. But we really feel that the most beneficial thing is for you to teach. So the best teach you how to teach. We'll give you some methods, we'll give you some principles, and then we'll say, get at it. And if we could do anything else to this course, we would make it longer and have you teach more often. That's what we would do. We'd have you teach different types of passages, Old Testament narratives, or Psalms, or Proverbs. We'll have you teach a parable from Jesus. We'd have you teach something from the pastoral epistles, or maybe prophecy. All those things we're going to have to approach slightly differently. So we really want to, as quickly as we can, get the ball out of our court and back into your court so that you can start wrestling with it. The more you wrestle with it, the point isn't to deliver a home run in the fourth week. The point is to deliver what reflects best the way you teach, and let us help you frame and mold that into a more effective way to teach, or a more effective way to present to whoever you are, whether it's just training your children, or teaching in a local church, or through your work, or through the neighborhood, whichever option, whichever method you're using. We really want to get you hands-on experience. That's the most valuable thing, more than just simply us talking about it. So
good. Okay, what we're going to do now is go through what the course outline is. As you can see here in your notes, today we're going to be covering developing a philosophy of teaching. Mainly today is philosophy. Mainly today is just the groundwork. Let's just talk about what is teaching. Let's talk about what makes a good teacher. Let's talk about what it means to be a Christian with the Holy Spirit guiding us in teaching. Very philosophical. Then we're going to, and theological. Then we're going to move into methods for the rest of the course. All right. What are the different methods that we have to choose from? What are the best types of methods to use in what situation that you're in? And how do I implement these methods? What are the goals? What are the what's the strategy? How do I do an introduction, a body, and a conclusion? What is the most effective way to be able to teach in the environment that I have been assigned to teach is basically what we're talking about.
What the tendency is, and you'll see as we get through this, the tendency is that you gather as much information as you can on the passage and get it all out there. You know, just give them back the dumb truck up and give them everything you know on a passage. And we'll evaluate, is that going to be effective in whatever you're trying to accomplish? That's our natural tendency. So if we're going to choose what we're going to teach or choose what we're going to present, it's going to require some decision making as to how do we choose or what ought we to choose. And so that's part of the method we're going to work through.
Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says, "And these words that I command to you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." We will return to that passage a little bit later and talk some about it. This is taken from DTS notes of Howard Hendricks and Michael Lawson. They ask, what is an effective teacher? One thing that makes an effective teacher is he has clearly defined goals. One thing that probably some of you had were dancing around a little bit but didn't state exactly. Do you have goals in your teaching? As we'll talk about in a minute, Christianity is notorious for what is called Christian chatter. Can anybody guess what Christian chatter is? It's rambling, and it's rambling about the Bible, it's rambling about the Holy Spirit, it's rambling about your love for others, it's rambling about going out and evangelize. You're rambling. All of it's good stuff. All of it is nice, and all of it's probably true. But what's your point? You know, you're chattering. Chatter is whenever you don't prepare, and as we'll see later on, you feel like, well, I shouldn't set any specific goals, because if I set goals in my mind, then I'm not leaving room for who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to come in and chatter with me. You know, and if I get up there and I'm moved by the Holy Spirit to do something different, then that's what I'll do. Don't do that. The Holy Spirit's not going to move you at the last minute. Okay, the Holy Spirit will move you beforehand if He's going to do that. And if He moves at the last minute, that's you moving. That's something else. The Holy Spirit moves in your preparation. He moves in your thought process beforehand. Chatter is an excuse for laziness. Lack of goals is an excuse for laziness. If you don't have clearly defined goals, that's your only option. You just get up there and you start talking at the top of your mind. And again, a lot of it's good stuff. But because it's good stuff does not justify you putting your people through that torture.
We need to just reemphasize this, because when it comes to the chance when you get to teach, this is what's going to naturally happen. It's the easiest thing to do, and that's just to keep talking and just keep without. And you'll see when your fellow students, those who you're sitting with right now, when they evaluate you, they won't have a clue what your point is. It's the hardest thing to do to make a point, which we'll have to get back to the point. Or to the question of what is the point of the passage you're working with? What is the point of this narrative of Scripture or this particular epistle or this psalm? And making that point is going to be very challenging. So we're going to say that over and over. I want you to start thinking about that. What is the specific thing you're trying to accomplish? What are you trying to do? We've already outlined what our point is. We want to enable you to take a method that we're going to present to you and use it in your context for teaching or preaching. That's our point. We're going to take 3 weeks of instruction to do it and 1 week of interaction with you as you teach to do it, but that's our point in these next 4 weeks. And the question that you're going to have to keep asking is, what is the point of the passage? Every time I study a passage, I read it, I do background work on it, I might do some work in the languages or something to try and get some understanding, and then I go, so what? Why is this passage here? What I do mentally is I pull the passage out of the Bible and I rethink through the Bible. Now, what do we miss by losing that passage? Oh, well, whatever we've lost, that would be the point of that passage when I put it back in. You'll see, that's going to be the thing that you need to start to discipline yourself to do. This will be the biggest point, a clearly defined goal.
And if you want to see Christian chatter going on, I mean, the only thing you really have to do is turn on your TV set. I mean, it's chatter all day long. And you ask, what's the point? The point is just to say good things to get people excited. And again, it may be something such as you're walking around you saying, isn't the Lord good? Oh yeah, the Lord is good. And won't He provide for us if we stay strong in Him? Yes, He will. You know, the crowd goes along with Him. And what's the problem whenever our families are falling apart? Good stuff, you know. And you know, husbands are leaving and committing adultery. Good stuff, you're going over here. And then you move over here and you start talking about, something totally different. Christ died for you and He rose from the grave. And I know it's true. And do you know it's true? And, you know, it's just all over the place with a lot of good stuff, but nothing is goals. There's no goals, and it's chatter. Chatter is not teaching. Okay, chatter is just communicating in an ineffective way. He is open and transparent. Mark, you had stated that. He creatively handles conflicts and problems. We had someone over here say that. He encourages openness and freedom in others. And we said that in many different ways. He is committed to the students as individuals. That was said a couple of times. He is excited about teaching. Many times we said that. He's excited about the subject, difference. Excited about teaching in general is the idea that you like to teach. You like to engage in people's lives. It's just not a subject that you're teaching. It's not that I'm a teacher and I just like to teach this subject and that's the only thing I can get excited about. But generally speaking, you're excited about teaching. You're excited about the environment, the learning atmosphere, being able to help people to grow. So those are two different things. He is open to the diverse values and beliefs of others. He's not, in other words, he's not a dogmatic teacher that says, all right, here's my pulpit, and I'm going to tell you how it is. Okay, and for the next 45 minutes, you guys just take notes. Openness. I'm ready to listen to you, and I'm ready to change my views. I'm ready to, as we are in this conversation, we are in a community of believers. We are a community of learners right now. I don't have everything figured out, so give and take, we learn. I mean, Rome and I think, learn more up here with you all than we do in our studies by far, because we have to engage differently. When you're engaging by yourselves, you can get it all figured out. You know, you've got it all figured out by the time you leave your study. But then once you start engaging people, it's dangerous, because now you don't got it quite so figured out, because they bring different perspectives and they think differently. And up here, you have to think. You have to be going through that process, and you have to be thinking, you know, maybe I'm not so sure anymore about that. I'm learning right now with you.
One of the biggest challenges of teaching a class like this is, as we put on the board all sorts of things, who are you evaluating on that? You're evaluating us. If there's ever a subject that you would feel incompetent to teach, it would be a class on teaching, where we're making all these lists and you're going through, oh, I wonder if he's really transparent about that. You know, does he really know the subject? And what Michael said is true. We learn so much by that interaction, and yet it's dangerous. It's dangerous because you may say something that points out one of my weaknesses. And so I have two options. I can come before you presenting no weakness. I have it all together. I know how to teach. Or I can come before you and say, you know what, that's a good point, and that's something I struggle with. That's something that my teaching doesn't reflect. That's something that I often do in error to the detriment of my students. That's the big challenge. So we very much are learners, even as we're sitting up here. The more times we teach it, the more times we're able to engage with groups of people and learn more about the teaching process.
He is graciously persuasive. What do you think I mean by that, graciously persuasive? But the key is, he's still making a point, right? Because sometimes here's what we move towards, because we're trying to create a balance here, and it's very difficult to create this balance. I mean, it is an ongoing process for both of us as we talk about teaching and as we talk about teaching the theology program, how to be more effective and how we are. It's an ongoing process of trying to balance what's going on in our world and trying to be open and transparent and trying to say, you know, you all have valid points, you all have valid views, but at the same time, we've got a subject to teach and we've got to be persuasive about that. Ultimately, we're not trying to just get everybody out and we're all on level playing field and all views are equal. We're trying to say, this is true. Whatever I'm saying, the person is graciously persuasive, I mean that. I want to persuade you of that. I want you to leave here persuaded that the teacher must be graciously persuaded. Are persuasive. And so I've got a point, and I'm trying to persuade you of something. Don't ever give up on that. Because once you give up on trying to persuade people of things, then you've really entered into the postmodern matrix of relativism and basically said it really doesn't matter what you believe as long as we're all in here having community. No, that's not the point. We'll have community other places. That is different than this. This is part of the community of learning environment, but at the same time, the teachers are up here to persuade of something. It's like Lewis Ferry Schaefer used to say at Dallas Seminary, every time he would leave one of his classes, all the men standing up, and as he walked out of the room, he'd turn to them and he'd say, students, men, give them something to believe. You're trying to give them something to believe. You're trying to persuade them of something. And so that's very important. Don't lose sight of that. What is it that you're trying to persuade? But in a gracious manner. Now, what makes an ineffective teacher is poorly prepared. That adds to the chatter. That adds to the stumbling. That adds to the lack of confidence. That adds to the reading straight from your notes, and that's all you do. Those types of things. You're not prepared. Lacks patience. Why aren't you guys getting this? That kind of thing. I mean, in the back of her mind, I just can't believe they're not. All right, I'm just skipping this and moving on, and I'm going to act like they got it. You know, but sometimes you're tempted to do that, aren't you? I mean, have you ever been tempted to do that? You just say, I mean, you guys just really don't understand. The Holy Spirit is not present with you all, but He's present with me.
Well, just by the way, just so that we're clear on this, when your students aren't getting it, whose fault is it? Yeah. Always. Always, because the students are there learning. So if your students aren't getting the points you're making, you're not making the right point. And that's the hardest thing to learn, because in your mind it's clear. But that's not the question. Is it clear in your students' mind? And that's the thing that we're going to try and help you hone that type of skill. And your personality, your personal experiences, your relationship with the Lord, all of that will play into how you present points. But that's the skill we're going to try and hone as we work together on this method.
Good. Has no clearly defined goals. We've already spoken towards that. He lacks structure and organization. In this sense, the person comes in with the subject in mind, comes in with a knowledge of the subject, maybe the passage, but he hasn't really thought through how to structure the lesson, how to organize the lesson. And so maybe you come in and the first thing you do is you say, open your Bibles to this passage, and you just begin reading and exegeting. Maybe it's good exegeting. Maybe you have goals behind it. You want to persuade people of the truth of the passage. But you got to remember, everybody that has come into your room, everybody that is sitting down before you has been busy all week doing anything other than what you have been doing. They've been involved with our kids. They've been involved with our family. They've been involved with fights at work, with difficulties, paying bills. And, you know, on the way here, they weren't preparing like you think they were in their mind. They're not spiritual sponges right whenever they come in. But they need to be taken from the world that they were at into the world that you are in some type of structure. You've got to start it off and bring people to you and then move into the lesson. That's part of structure. Then you've got to move through the lesson and then move back to their world. So you take them out of their world, into your world, then back to their world. It's part of the structure. We'll learn about that. He dominates with closed lecture. Now, sometimes the venue that you're in necessitates that. I'd never like to teach in a closed lecture. My worst thing to do is to get into a situation like this, to where it is just all closed off, no interaction can happen, and I'm just basically hearing my voice the whole time, and I'm not sure where you all are at. If you have a venue that does not necessitate that you lecture, then as we will see, that is a problem with teachers, is that they do dominate with closed lecture, even in venues that don't demand that.
Just real briefly, where does that come from? Where did we get this idea of closed lecture, someone standing at the front with the presentation and everyone else just listening? Sorry? Preaching, but why? How did that develop historically? Or literate. The teacher was the only one with the material. It comes from the church. The teacher was the only one with the scriptures. You sit and listen because you can't read. Not only you can't read, but you don't have the book. The church has one copy of the scriptures. They have the scroll. I teach it to you. You listen. Well, are you all illiterate? Do we not have a plethora of materials that we can read? If we're just transferring information, can we not put it in a handout and put it in front of them? The issue shouldn't be the what anymore in lecture, but the why the what, or the how the what, or what is the implications of the what. The what you can write down. We all can read. That's no problem. It's what do you do with the what? And that creates the interaction. If this was just a course where we just wanted to give you a couple of facts or how to do a method, a four-step process, why don't we just write it out and email it to you and save you all a bunch of time and money? But it's more than that. And so that's what we want to do. That's where it comes from. It comes from the fact that normally the students weren't able to read, or the students didn't have access to the information because everything had to be copied by hand. The inventing of the printing press and the spread of literacy has made the closed lecture ultimately, it could be a thing of the past. It isn't, but it could be. And that's what we want to try and present, is that as we're working with the scriptures, with people who have the scriptures, we can do more than just tell them. That's what we want to get to.
Lacks creativity. We talked about that. Has no personal motivation or passion concerning the subject. I think that's interesting that this is included, that passion continues to come up. Passion, motivation, something that you can see in the people's mannerisms and their voice and the way that they present the material, that they really do care about this material. Very important for the student. Very important for all of your students to be able to see that in you. And very difficult sometimes just to come up with out of the blue. You know, it's It's something that that God gives to you, and especially whenever it comes to the Scriptures, that you're excited about the subject. Once you understand and you can internalize it, then you're excited about that. And that's part of what we'll see is the gift of teaching, the excitement that comes from learning. He doesn't let you think. And I think that's what Rome discovered there. It doesn't believe you can think. Doesn't let you think on your own. Doesn't help you to struggle through things. Doesn't present you with dilemmas. Sometimes the best teachers are ones that get in there and just get you riled up for a while, and get you thinking. I had a teacher in seminary where, for the first 6 weeks, I had to leave there and pray because I needed to evangelize the guy because I knew he wasn't a Christian because he made me so mad. It's kind of those situations where, how can this guy teach this way? But then at the end of the semester, I look back and it's just like, that impacted me more than anything because he made me think. He knew I could think through these things. And he wanted to take away my assumptions. Somebody had their hand up. It's a very good question, and we're going to cover that in detail. We're going to ask the question, what's the difference between teaching and preaching? And we're going to ask the question, does preaching need to go? Get you riled up for a little bit and wait till next week.
And if we decide yes, it's gone.
That's right. It's on the web. He gives rambling answers for questions asked. Who said that earlier? We had someone over here that said, just rambles on whenever questions are asked and doesn't really know it, feels like he has to say the right thing. So, now let's talk about this. We've gone through a lot of issues of philosophy of teaching. Now, what I want you to be able to think through on your own is to take this lecture and the notes that we have gone through and take this book, Teaching to Change Lives, which is really goes through in a different way what we have just gone through, the values that you need to build. And what you're going to do, like I said, is next session, you're going to have your philosophy of teaching paper done. And you're probably going to choose a lot of these things and the things that stand out most, and you're going to say, what do I want to be? What do I want to stand out? What's the most valuable thing? First, I want to be a teacher of truth. Second, I want to be a transparent person. Third, I want to understand my students. Fourth, I want to leave a legacy of love. You're going to go through it like that, and you're going to write your reasons down for that. It's your own philosophy. Again, there's not anything wrong. I think the only thing that I'd say is wrong is if you do leave out, and this is just kind of give you a heads up, the only way I'd probably check you off and say redo it, is if you didn't have the truth. Because if you have all of these things, and you don't have any substance, if you don't have any foundation, if you don't have a desire to transfer truth, good theology, those types of things, then it's all worthless. I don't want to send you out to anywhere to teach. I'd rather you have good theology and have nothing else than have everything and have bad theology.
And don't try and write all of them. Like the ideas and say, well, you're not trying to create a mythical perfect teacher. It's got to reflect who you are. What is it that you'll do best? If you're someone who loves to read and read and get lots of knowledge, then you might want to put knowledge, but that may not be the thing if you're a steps person and you like to present, well, here's three things that we can do to help improve our faith. Here's four things we can do this week to, if that's your type of personality, then you ought to reflect it that way. In other words, don't just create this idea of I'm going to put everything on there, because ultimately we want to hold you to what you're writing.
You might just choose five. Just so you can make sure you're thinking through what are the most important. It's not that the others aren't important. I think every one of us would say every one of these are important.
Right.
But we're trying to set it up to the way God has created you. And I'm not even saying that this is going to be stamped and sealed and set in stone to where in 5 years from now you look at this and you say, oh, yeah, it's supposed to be this, and I don't have that value anymore, but I'm going back to that. It's that you're developing this. So this is your first stage and step in developing it. What constitutes an excellent teacher? What constitutes excellent teaching? And what type of teacher do I want to be? Let those be your guide in choosing the values, then explaining them. I think the example paper will help you very much in that. And so those are all due by next session. Value is basically what we're saying is what do you regard highly or esteem to be. What do you think is worth, of great worth, and of value and of praise in teaching? Think through that, and next week, like I said, the paper is due.
Scene 1, Apple, take 1.